The boy went out. They had eaten with no light on the table, and the old man took off his trousers and went to bed in the dark. He rolled his trousers up to make a pillow, putting the newspaper inside them. He rolled himself in the blanket and slept in the other old newspapers that covered the springs of the bed. He was asleep in a short time, and he dreamed of Africa when he was a boy, and the long golden beaches, and the white beaches, so white they hurt your eyes, and the high capes and the great brown mountains. He lived along that coast now every night, and in his dreams he heard the surf roar and saw the native boats come riding through it. He smelled the tar and oakum of the deck as he slept, and he smelled the smell of Africa that the land breeze brought at morning. Usually when he smelled the land breeze, he woke up and dressed to go and wake the boy. But tonight the smell of the land breeze came very early, and he knew it was too early in his dream and went on dreaming to see the white peaks of the islands rising from the sea, and then he dreamed of the different harbors and roadsteads of the Canary Islands. He no longer dreamed of storms, nor of women, nor of great occurrences, nor of great fish, nor fights, nor contests of strength, nor of his wife. He only dreamed of places now, and of the lions on the beach. They played like young cats in the dusk, and he loved them as he loved the boy. He never dreamed about the boy. He simply woke, looked out the open door at the moon, and unrolled his trousers and put them on. He urinated outside the shack, and then went up the road to wake the boy. He was shivering with the morning cold, but he knew he would shiver himself warm and that soon he would be rowing. The door of the house where the boy lived was unlocked, and he opened it and walked in quietly with his bare feet. The boy was asleep in a cot in the first room, and the old man could see him clearly with the light that came in from the dying moon. He took hold of one foot gently and held it until the boy woke and turned and looked at him. The old man nodded, and the boy took his trousers from the chair by the bed, and sitting on the bed, pulled them on. The old man went out the door, and the boy came after him. He was sleepy, and the old man put his arm across his shoulders and said, "I am sorry." "Give her," the boy said. "It is what a man must do." They walked down the road to the old man's shack, and all along the road in the dark, barefoot men were moving, carrying the masts of their boats. When they reached the old man's shack, the boy took the rolls of line in the basket, and the harpoon, and gaff, and the old man carried the mast with the furled sail on his shoulder. "Do you want coffee?" the boy asked. "We'll put the gear in the boat, and then get some." They had coffee from condensed milk cans at an early morning place that served fishermen. "How did you sleep, old man?" the boy asked. He was waking up now, although it was still hard for him to leave his sleep.
"Very well, Manolin," the old man said. "I feel confident today."
"So do I," the boy said. "Now I must get your sardines and mine and your fresh baits. He brings our gear himself. He never wants anyone to carry anything."
"We're different," the old man said. "I let you carry things when you were 5 years old."
"I know it," the boy said. "I'll be right back. Have another coffee. We have credit here." He walked off, barefooted on the coral rocks, to the ice house where the baits were stored. The old man drank his coffee slowly. It was all he would have all day, and he knew that he should take it. For a long time now, eating had bored him, and he never carried a lunch. He had a bottle of water in the bow of the skiff, and that was all he needed for the day. The boy was back now with the sardines and the two baits wrapped in a newspaper, and they went down the trail to the skiff, feeling the pebbled sand under their feet, and lifted the skiff and slid her into the water. "Good luck, old man."
"Good luck," the old man said.
He fitted the rope lashings of the oars onto the thole pins, and leaning forward against the thrust of the blades in the water, he began to row out of the harbor in the dark. There were other boats from the other beaches going out to sea, and the old man heard the dip and push of their oars, even though he could not see them now. The moon was below the hills.